thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So folks, onto the message this morning, by hook or by crook. Believe it or not, I've actually tried to preach this message 5 or 6 times. Those of you who would ever share a word or would prepare a sermon will know that sometimes you have something and you feel the Lord has laid it on your heart, and perhaps something else during the week maybe just comes upon your heart, comes into your mind, and then you feel, no, I think I should share that. And so that has happened to me from about mid-February with this message. And I remember even kind of approaching Easter Sunday and thinking, perhaps maybe Easter Sunday will be the morning that I'll preach it. But no, it wasn't to be that morning. And then a few weeks ago, I thought, I wonder, is it time? But again, the answer was no. However, for some reason, I've been given the nudge. You know that nudge that you get? I don't mean from the wife. You get that wee nudge, you get that wee feeling just in your heart and your spirit from the Lord. And so this morning, I'm just praying that this message will be of a blessing to some. You've probably all heard of that saying, warts and all. It came from when one very famous military and political leader, Oliver Cromwell. So when an artist was painting a portrait of him, when he had become Lord Protector of England, Scotland and Ireland in the 17th century, Cromwell insisted that Cooper the artist paint him warts and all. It's the same Oliver Cromwell who coined the phrase by hook or by crook. As he was sailing into Waterford Harbour, it was a vow or a promise that Oliver Cromwell made in the 17th century to take the city of Waterford in Ireland by hook, which is on the eastern side of the Waterford estuary, or by crook, which is to the west side of it. And so this phrase, by hook or by crook, was made at that time. And so to do so, he would likely have relied upon a beacon that still shines today from what is actually the world's oldest operating lighthouse on Hook, Lighthouse on Hook Head, at the end of Hook Peninsula in County Wexford. And of course, what is the meaning behind by hook or by crook? You probably know what it is. It means that we will achieve our goal any way possible, by one way or another, by hook or by crook. And so, church family, we need to achieve our goal, our mission, to fulfill the mission of Christ by any means possible. Our focus, of course, this morning is on missions. Will you turn with me, please, to Ezekiel? It's quite a difficult book to find, even though it's got quite a lot of chapters. But if you do happen to find Isaiah or Jeremiah, then Ezekiel is just after that. And if you find it quickly, will you turn with me, please, then to chapter 34? Love to hear the rustling of those pages. You don't hear the rustling whenever you're flicking through your iPad or your smartphone or whatever, but it's good nevertheless, whatever way we read the Word of God. And so Ezekiel 34 and verse 11 says, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in a rich pasture. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick." We thank God for the reading of his word this morning. Now, I need 3 volunteers this morning. Farmers, if possible, preferably sheep farmers, if that's possible. And so you know me by now, when I ask for volunteers, I'm actually going to call certain people. So is David right here this morning? David, could I ask you to come up? Yes, come on ahead, David. Let's just welcome David up to the platform here. Good man, David. Lovely to see you this morning. Now, I think there's another sheep farmer, and he's looking at me very cross at the moment. James Newell. Come on, James. Just you stand over here a wee second, David. Good man. James, good to see you again.
Paul.
Now, I'm not quite sure if we have we another sheep farmer this morning? Because I might have to maybe look at a cow farmer. There's no other sheep farmers, is there? William Wiley, were you once a sheep farmer? Come on. It's a long walk, isn't it? Good to see you, William. Do you want to just stand over there then? Thank you. Not often you see four good-looking fellas in the same platform, sure it's not. Now, folks, what have we got here? James, I think you'll know what that is.
A crook.
A crook. And would you often use that?
To
catch them when they're okay, maybe straying away,
yeah.
Whatever.
Something wrong.
Yeah, great job. Now, William, have you any idea what that is? Not really. Okay, all will be revealed in a moment. David, there's one for you. Let everyone just see that. Now, I have it on good authority from Gwyneth. Okay, we all know that this is a shepherd's crook. So, these are not called shepherd's crooks. This one that William has is used to plunge the sheep into the dipper. Yep. At a time when it needs to be purified or protected against ticks and lice and parasites. And this one, which David has, let everyone just see that there, David. Apparently, this is called a leg cleek, I think. And this is for catching a young ewe around the ankle. Pretty much the same sort of scenario that James has here, but that might be difficult maybe to catch a very young sheep. That's more, get it round the neck. Whereas this is round the ankle. Listen, thank you very much. That's the demonstration all taken care of. Thank you. Your reward is in heaven. The Bible portrays us as sheep, as you all know. However, it's by no means a complementary comparison, because sheep are stubborn, senseless, stupid, easily led astray, wayward, and downright disobedient. So when the Bible compares us as sheep, that's what you're compared to. We often need a crook, the one that James had there. We often need a crook wrapped around our neck to bring us back into line. Or if it's a little lamb, perhaps the shepherd needs that little leg cleek that David showed us, maybe to just catch it round the ankle to make sure that it's not going to go and do itself any harm or stray. Or perhaps we maybe need at times, we maybe need the good shepherd to take something like this in a spiritual sense and hold us down into the dipper, as it was, into the disinfectant as such, where we are purified, where we are sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so being compared to sheep, we think of the great shepherd who does all of these things for our benefit, for our growth, sometimes for our discipline, but always out of love and care and compassion. A A couple of questions this week have been rattling around my mind. I did share them with somebody during the week as we were visiting. And one of them is, what is the culture of our church? If you're making notes this morning, you can write that down. What is the culture of our church? In other words, what makes us tick? What are our aims? What are our goals? What are our objectives? And the other thought that I've had too, and the two kind of dovetail together, I believe, is what are we cultivating as individuals? What are we cultivating as individuals? In other words, what are we developing in our lives? What are our priorities? I looked this up during the week. What do you do when you cultivate? Cultivating is actually a combination of two things. It's first removing weeds from the garden and then loosening the soil to improve the retention and penetration of air, water, and nutrients. Both are accomplished at the same time. No wonder did you notice the wording, removing weeds, loosening the soil. Both are of paramount importance to successful cultivation, but in the right order, because we first have to get rid of the weeds. We have to deal with the problem first. There's no sense cultivating or loosening the soil when the weeds are still on top, because you're going to have a bigger problem down the line. We must first remove the weeds, and then we can prepare or loosen the ground properly. And I'm wondering this morning, in all of our lives, myself included, are there some weeds that we need to get rid of? Are there some things, by hook or by crook, by any means, that we need to deal with? Can I suggest to you this morning that we need to have a culture of cultivating the right things? Again, if you're making notes this morning, the first thing that I believe that we need to cultivate is the heart of a servant. A true servant is one who puts other people first at all times. The heart of a servant is to make sure that the hearts of others are looked after and nurtured and protected. Being in church and having ministries and those who serve and lead is all about servanthood. Folks, you may have noticed that we've got a few wee boxes this morning, so I would like three more willing volunteers, if possible. I have to be careful what I say here. So if I could have an older person, that's somebody over 40, and I think it would be good to have Rosie Lyons come up this morning. Rosie's never short of a word to say to you when she's talking to you. Come on, Rosie, we're going to just encourage you to come up here this morning. And then we want to have a younger person. Corey McVicker, why don't you come up? Come on, encourage Corey. Good to see you, Rosie. How's that Tommy fella? Is he behaving himself?
Oh, always does.
Always does. Corey, good to see you. He's so good. He is indeed. Now, I need a third person. Someone who's always in the background. Somebody who we don't often see. Somebody from the sound and vision team. Dave Matthews. Come on, Dave. All right, Dave, good to see you. Now, folks, now what have we got here? Now, got a few wee gifts here. Rosie, that's your wee gift there. What do you think's in it?
Nothing.
Not quite true. Okay, would you like to open it? Do you want a wee hand? Corey, give her a wee hand there. Good lad. You're destroying my good rapping. Now. Whoop. So what have we got in this big box? A toilet roll. Okay, well, you can blow your nose on it if you want. Now, who's next? Dave. What do you think that is? A shoebox. Now, that looks like quite a small shoebox, doesn't it? I would say maybe size 5 shoes. Where's Esther this morning? Oh, she doesn't crash. Anyhow, work away there, Dave. Ooh, it's a very fancy box, that. Moda and Pele. Oh, many eggs. Very good. It's getting better. I'd rather have a box of mini eggs than a toilet roll anyway. Corey?
Well, I don't know.
I told you I needed an older person. What do you think it is, Corey?
Wee bits
in it? Uh-huh. Okay, uh-huh. Whoa. What have we got?
Matches.
Now, I'm not encouraging you in any form. What's inside it?
Well, you've got your classic matches, and I've got a wee 20.
It's genuine, too. It's genuine. Thank you, folks. Show them your appreciation there. Take your gifts with you. Dave. Now, what on earth was that about? I hear you asking. When it comes to serving, it's often the smallest things that mean the most. The smallest box brought the biggest blessing. Isn't that right, Corey? And treat Mum and Dad to a coffee later. Or maybe not. The smallest act of kindness from a servant heart can often bring the biggest blessing. Servanthood isn't about seeking the limelight or making the headlines. True servanthood is about serving in quietness, serving in the darkness, serving in the solitude when nothing can be seen and nothing can be given back in return. See, we need to cultivate a culture of servanthood. We need to grow bigger hearts so that we can lift up the downcast, we can bind up the brokenhearted, that we can minister into the real needs that people have. Servanthood is dressed in humility and grace. It's clothed in respect and honor. It's adorned with love and compassion. And can I suggest to you that we need to cultivate a spirit of holiness? A young Pentecostal pastor was completing a temperance sermon with great expression. He said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I would take it and I would throw it into the river." With even greater emphasis, he said, "If I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and I would throw it into the river." And finally, he said, "If I had all the whiskey in the world, I would take it and I would throw it into the river." He sat down. The worship leader then stood up and very cautiously announced with a smile, "Our closing song is hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" On a serious point, those of you who were here a number of weeks ago when we asked Desi to come up and share a vision that the Lord had given him quite a while ago, and that vision was of a reservoir. And how both as individuals and as a church family corporately, that we need to be filled to overflowing so that the dry and barren land that's around us, that's outside of these four walls, can be saturated with God's love and his saving and his healing grace. I remember about 5 years ago, I visited Spelga Dam in the Mournes. It was during that summer where there was a prolonged drought. The water level in the reservoir had dropped so much that it had exposed an old road and an old bridge. I don't know if any of you recall that. And this old road and this old bridge was built in Victorian times, but it had been submerged for a very, very long time until this time of drought had occurred. Thousands of people, including myself, came to walk over this ancient bridge and to see kind of the wonder of it that had been hidden for so long. Of course, it became a great tourist attraction for a period of time. It's where the Upper Ban flows under the bridge and its source is just a little bit up in the mountains of Mourne. See, sometimes when our personal reservoirs get low and we get empty and we get dry, it can expose things from the past. There may be things that we need to deal with as we endeavor to pursue personal holiness in our lives and walk in obedience to the Lord's commands. Just like what we talked about, having to deal with weeds before we can cultivate the ground. You see, we need to cultivate a spirit of holiness in our lives and in the culture of this church. And only then, when we clean up our act and we make sure that there are no blockages, no barriers, no weeds, no things from the past, nothing kind of in the reservoir of our souls, that then the Holy Spirit can come and can fill up the reservoir of our souls. Fill it up to overflowing so that we can think about mission. It's been said before, revival can't happen until it first happens in our own lives. It simply does not happen and cannot happen unless it first starts in our hearts as individuals. Holiness isn't a word that you often hear today. I don't remember preaching on holiness. I don't remember saying that word. For many, it seems to be like an old-fashioned term. In essence, it means to be separate or to be set apart, called out from and being different to the culture of the world. Remember us asking you earlier or telling you about the question, one of the questions, what is the culture of the church? If the culture of the church isn't very different to the culture of the world, then we've got it all wrong. The culture of the church needs to be completely different. So church family, can we cultivate a culture of the spirit of holiness? And leading on to our last point this morning, we need to cultivate a vision for mission. There's a beautiful old story that tells of how Jesus, after his ascension into heaven, was surrounded by the holy angels who began to inquire about his work on earth. And Jesus told them about his birth and about his life, about his preaching and teaching and healing and miracles, and about his death and his resurrection. And the angel Gabriel is meant to have asked the question, well, now, Lord, now that you're back in heaven, who will continue your work on earth? Jesus said, while I was on earth, I gathered a group of people around me who believed in me and who loved me, and they will continue to spread the gospel and carry on the work of the church. Gabriel was perplexed. He says, you mean Peter, who denied you 3 times? Do you mean the rest of the guys, the rest of the disciples who ran away when you were crucified? You mean to tell me that you left your work with these men? And Jesus said, I have no other plan. Truly, Jesus does not have another plan. His mission is our mission. Jesus truly depends on you And me, and Mark was sharing about that earlier this morning, he depends on us to do the mission. There were, of course, two headlines that grabbed the news this week. I didn't know what Mark was going to say, and he didn't know what I was going to say this morning. The first, of course, is the interest rate rise to 5%, the 13th consecutive rise in rates from December 2021. Good news for savers, misery for homeowners with mortgages. However, the other one, and Mark mentioned it this morning, was the search for Titan and its crew. It was on a mission, of course, wasn't it, to visit the wreck of the Titanic. You probably heard the names of the five men who were in this submersible. I'll not read them out to you. There were several headlines, and Mark mentioned one of them. The oxygen is gone, was one of the headlines. Another headline, debris has been found. So sadly, it was no longer going to be a rescue mission. I don't know if you're aware of this. I was actually very surprised when I read this, that there's actually a cruel twist of fate in this story. It transpires that the OceanGate founder and CEO Stockton Rush, who was within the submersible, is married to a lady called Wendy Rush, and she is the great-great-granddaughter of Isidore and Ida Strauss, who chose to remain on board the sinking Titanic together so that others could escape to safety in their place. What a twist of fate. But listen, folks, why are we saying this? Jesus started a rescue mission 2,000 years ago, and it's still going on. It's never been called off. It has never stopped. It's never paused. It's never been thwarted. It's never been halted. And we are playing our part in this very mission, his mission. And therefore, we need to cultivate a culture that gives us a vision for mission. We are a mission-orientated church. We've heard already, those of you who know, those within our church, Samuel McGurk is serving in Romania with Exodus. Karis is flying out, maybe mid-flight now. Liam and Adele, we've heard about that with Summer Madness in Port Glenone. Karis and Noah and Catherine are going on Exodus mission trips. Lauren and Chloe are going to go on beach missions. In August, we have our holiday Bible club with Megan and the team. In September, it's going to be our mission month, where we're starting off with a week of prayer and fasting, 2 weeks of outreach, and then a week of mission. Listen, we'll not do this unless it's going to cost us. It's not going to be easy. But that's our mission. And then, for the ladies, in January 2024, there'll be a ladies' conference with Helen Youssef. Really, really excited about that as well. Balamoney Elam has a vision for mission, and I want to be careful with my time here because I appreciate that you're all looking forward to your soup lunch. But we have remembered already, and rightly so, and we've reflected upon those who tragically died on the 23rd of June, 1978. It was the darkest of days in Elam history. For many of them, they sowed seeds, many seeds, with servant hearts. They had a vision for mission. They cultivated and they sowed, but they didn't reap. Their sacrifice is a challenge to you and to me to make every day count, or as Mark had said, to make every breath count. Church family, it's time to sow again. Now is the time to prepare the ground before we start. We need to get rid of the weeds. We need to leave no barriers or blockages to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we believe with all of our hearts that God is doing something very, very special among us. But we also believe that the best is yet to come. It's time to cultivate the ground, to break it up. It's time to fill up those personal reservoirs of our own lives. So, folks, let's not miss the mission. Let's not mess up the mission. Let's cultivate a culture of serving, whatever way that looks like for you and for me, by hook or by crook. And on this Mission Sunday, may we all be determined to advance. Don't forget that our church motto is a year of advance and a year of opportunities. And so as a church family, may we grasp this, and as individuals, may we have a heart of a servant, may we have a spirit of holiness, and may we have a vision for mission. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.